So let's talk about the other patients that you wanted to discuss here today, beginning with your 64-year-old man.
So this is, I guess I brought this one in because I wanted to make a point, almost like our first patient who was the heavy smoker who still had an ALK rearrangement. 64-year-old guy, 22-pack-year smoker. He presents with a seizure, actually in your neck of the woods in Florida. He was visiting family there. And he has a 3-centimeter lesion in his left occipital lobe, a 1-centimeter lesion in his left frontal lobe, and about a 1-centimeter in his left parietal lobe. They resect the occipital lesion, and it is TTF1 negative, P63 negative, P40 negative, so negative for almost everything. But they call it squamous based on the physical appearance of it. And so, at least where he was in Florida, they said, well, there's no need, you know, you're a smoker, you've got squamous cancer, we're not going to do any molecular testing. He comes back to Colorado, which is where he lives, and he got a PET scan, and in addition to the stuff in his brain, he's got some Hiler activity, 4R lymph node activity, and with no CT correlate, but some activity in his left femur. Actually, interesting enough, it wasn't clear where the primary is. It was probably tangled up with the Hiler mass. He gets radiotherapy to the resection cavity and to SRS to the two other lesions in his brain, and the molecular testing comes back, and we do two next-generation sequencing panels. One is an RNA extraction and one is a DNA extraction. One is to look for metexon 14 and gene fusions. One is to look for point mutations. But we also still do MET FISH testing because MET gene copy number is still the only thing that is a true gene copy number-driven driver. And I truly do not believe next-generation sequencing is the best way to pick that up. And on FISH testing, he had a MET SEP7 ratio of 5, which is high. And that was not picked up by the NGS, but there it was on the FISH testing. We started on carbopaclitaxel pembro. He did pretty good on it. And then because he really had, outside of the stuff in his brain, fairly oligometastatic disease, we did consolidation radiotherapy after probably about 6 or 7 cycles. And then he's done fine, but a bit like the other lady, he's now starting to crop lesions in his brain. And the question is, where do we go next? His disease outside of his brain is well controlled. Maybe there's an issue in terms of if he was responding to the chemotherapy or the immunotherapy, it's not getting up there. I know he has potentially MET as a driver. So a high-level MET amplification ratio has about a 40 to 60% response rate to a MET inhibitor like crizotinib, but crizotinib's not going to get into his brain. So I have solicited for single-patient compassionate access to tipotinib, which he's going to get, and we'll see how it goes.
Tipotinib, what's that?
There are two next-generation MET inhibitors that are really chasing down to be the first one to get a MET exon 14 skip mutation license. And both of them have good activity, and both of them have some evidence of CNS activity too. One is capmatinib, and the other is tipotinib. I always remember that because it's like a teapot, tipotinib.
Right.
And I don't quite know why I went for tipotinib over capmatinib, but that's the one that we're going to try and get single-patient access to.
Interesting. Also interesting, it looks like he had a very good response.
Yeah, he did. He got carbopaclitaxel pembro,